Bill, thanks for this forum, for the lunch that the rest of you will be eating. Most of all, for the work of your essential organization in this state. One of the two I's in IYI must surely stand for invaluable, because that is certainly how I think of your organization and each of its forms of work. Indiana owes this organization a great deal. We are very fortunate to have this unique institution among those serving our citizens. It has given us, first of all, Bill Stanzikevich, one of the most thoughtful and reflective and certainly big-hearted people among all the 6 million citizens of Indiana. Among many forms of service, Bill is an active member of the Education Roundtable, which more than any other organization has helped guide, shape, and inform my thinking on the subject I want to talk to you about today. The Institute is a unique source of information and data about the state, the well-being of children in Indiana. And data is, to me at least, not a sterile and dry or optional matter. Data, when it's available, alerts us to problems we should care about and propels us to action we might not otherwise take. And if you don't read annually the State of the Child survey that the IYI does, you owe it to yourself to begin making that a yearly practice. And, of course, the Institute, through its network of caring, compassionate organizations, many of which I know are represented in this room, provides directly and indirectly help to kids at a time when that's never been more important. Now, of course, it's a major irony of our time that in an era of unbelievable affluence and material well-being, at a time when the families that we measure and count as poor own and purchase and have material goods that the wealthy of just yesterday could only have dreamed about, at that very time, our kids have never needed help more than they do today. Because in many of those homes, whatever the level of material well-being, there may be no one to help explain right and wrong. There may be little or no reverence for education or a head start provided to children in their earliest years. There may be far too little and far too inconstant parental love. There may be no one around to explain that there is a God somewhere who loves that child. And so every organization in this room is filling that gap in one way or another and is supported by the Indiana Youth Institute in a way that Indiana is very, very fortunate to call home to. There is no shortage of ways in which we must help the children of this state. But there is no more direct way we can help them, no single area of emphasis more important to their successful futures than education. And within education, there is no shortage of places to start. Indiana has recently just learned what people like Bill knew long ago. We have a dropout problem that is far larger than we were admitting. At least a quarter of Indiana kids not finishing high school on time. And once again, the importance of truthfulness and accuracy in facts and data is apparent. I always say that progress begins where denial leaves off. And we can no longer deny the existence of the dropout problem in our state. We can't overlook, of course, the all the problems up and down the grade level in terms of the achievement of those kids who do stay in school. And there are many, many places in which we must be working to improve those results. But if you believe, as I do, that in the limited time that we have on this earth, in the limited time that we have in positions of responsibility, with the limited, finite resources that we ever have to address problems, that it makes sense to zoom in on those of highest impact, highest leverage, where you get the most gain, the most improvement for the unit of energy, the unit of money that you invest. Then I think as we are drawn to look at education among all the problems facing our young people, we are drawn to look at early education as a place of where we can do the most good in the shortest time. And I know that that's the work of many organizations in this room too. Can I take just a minute and tell you about something that has lifted me up? And that is a program that I have started through one of the finest organizations I know, with full respect for everybody here. If there's an organization doing more for young people in this country than the Boys and Girls Clubs, I'm not sure who it is. And you should clap. As we were studying the issue that I'm about to talk to you about, as I was listening to people and asking people where we could do some good with the youngest among us, I didn't want to wait for an answer or for the eventual vote, which we were going to make happen in the Indiana General Assembly. And so we shopped among the programs that seemed to help young people who were falling behind, people, particularly those young people on the short end of what we all know as the achievement gap. And I was looking for a program that was immediate, that was offered the promise of high impact, and was committed to measuring results and being accountable for them. We found such a program called the Power Hour in the Boys and Girls Clubs and decided to bring it to Indiana in a big way. We used TANF, which is to say welfare dollars. It's very affordable, by the way. We can enroll a young person in the program we now call Mitch's Kids. I'm a little self-conscious about telling you that, but that's what the clubs named it, for a couple hundred dollars. Let me tell you what has happened in less than 1 year. The clubs have enrolled, qualified and enrolled 3,512 kids. Virtually all of them are from low-income households. 96% at least qualify for free and reduced price lunches. Two-thirds of them are from non-intact families. They are tested on arrival. The Power Hour, by the way, is an hour of after-school coaching and teaching and mentoring in reading and math, followed by fun and recreation in a place of safety and love that each Boys and Girls Club is. 1,424 kids have been tested at the front end. Everyone's tested at the front end. 1,424 kids have been tested after a prescribed number of Power Hour sessions. Reading scores went up 38%. Math scores went up 39%. Boys and Girls Clubs, great job. I mention this first out of pride and affection for the people who are making it happen and for the kids in those programs, but also by way of preface, because just like Mitch's Kids, when I look for those places, those points of impact and of high leverage where we can help the most kids in the most measurable, proven way in a shortest period of time, I come to another idea that has been proven effective, that offers the possibility of rapid and measurable improvement at a time of life which is so critical in the life trajectory of any of us. And therefore, I came today to say that full-day kindergarten works. It is needed. And 2007 is the time to make it real, finally, in the state of Indiana. I've been spending a lot of time both looking at this subject, listening to people who know more about it than I have learned up to this point. And I want to bring you a proposal that I think meets all our situation, meets and blends, and I hope balances the interests and needs and views of all the good-hearted people who would like to see something better happen for our youngest kids. And let me run through it for you for this very knowledgeable audience here very briefly. The elements are as follows. I think we should make, first of all, an irrevocable commitment to starting, and to starting in the fall of 07. No pilots, no experiments. The time for that is over. There are legitimate questions that have been asked. They'll be asked again as we pursue this idea. They are asked sincerely, I know. Many people still believe that at least the second half of a full day in kindergarten is not really spent on educational improvement, that it is idled away and as another form of daycare or babysitting. They haven't been to the full-day kindergartens I have visited. They haven't talked to the full-day kindergarten teachers or the parents that I have talked to, and I know probably everybody in this room has. They haven't seen the studies that reflect gains not too far short of those I just outlined for Mitch's kids in terms of reading scores, upwards of 30% gains measured in those kids who had that second half day. I've got some homework today. One of my many tutors, Marlene Tesdale, showed up with this bag, which I look forward to reading on the flight to Fort Wayne. It has among its items, Marlene has given me work done by kids in a half-day program, work done by kids in a full-day program. I wish you could see the difference. It's no longer surprising to me, but it would be to some of our fellow citizens who honestly don't know how valuable that second half-day can be. Marlene told me, she's a retired teacher now, but she has never lost her love for kids or her commitment to them. She told me the other day at the roundtable session that she had attended just as a visitor, that she's been working on and arguing for full-day kindergarten for 18 years in this state. I promised Marlene number 19 is the year of victory, and will you all help me make sure that that happens? Many other people who have looked closely at this subject make another point that merits reflection and study and action, and that is that, yes, there is clear evidence of an effectiveness of that second half day of kindergarten, but there is little or no evidence of a lasting effect. In fact, there's some disquieting evidence that in many places the beneficial effects of full day have worn off within a few years. Now, we have more promising data in our own state. A study in Muncie was one such piece of data. But I think we should all agree that these legitimate questions that have been asked and asked again must not be reasons for inaction or paralysis. They are not arguments for standing still. They are arguments for doing full-day kindergarten well in Indiana, and surely we can. At the roundtable last week, there was a fascinating and important exchange between two of the best citizens this state has. My friend Senator Earlene Rogers, a former teacher and a terrific, indispensable member of the legislature from Gary, said at one point, she said, look, it's time to act. Full-day kindergarten is not cutting edge. She was right. Carol D'Amico, vice chancellor of Ivy Tech, said, that's absolutely true, but it is equally true that effective, strong, educationally sound, and lasting full-day kindergarten is cutting edge. She was right, too. Well, I happen to believe that in every realm, Hoosiers must never again settle for middle of the pack or mediocrity. And that is certainly true when it comes to the education of our children. So let's resolve to be cutting edge in full-day kindergarten. Here are the other elements that I offer as a place where maybe everyone or a majority could come together. I believe that the full-day kindergarten we offer beginning next August should be universally available, but voluntary for families. There are families, there will not be many, if my eyes, ears, and the evidence is right, but there are families who will feel that their child is not quite ready for that full-day experience. Their wishes should and must be honored, in my judgment. I believe that we should have a front-loaded phase-in of this program. We can do this in a way which leads to a majority, probably a solid majority of Hoosier kids enrolled in full-day kindergarten by next August, and an overwhelming majority 1 year from then. I would do it as follows. I would fund from the state level the poorest kids first. That is to say, the free and reduced price lunch population. This is close to 40%. Please remember that through the heroic efforts of superintendents and school boards and educators around the state, there's a significant percentage of our kids in full-day kindergarten already. The low estimate is 12%. There are estimates, I think, are shaky that are much higher than that, but nobody seems to have this number. It's a frustration of mine that we don't have, in every case, the kind of data that the Youth Institute produces for us on so many other metrics. But it is very clear to me that if we do fund, starting next August, the low-income kids of this state, wherever they live, added to, as it must be, the existing population of full-day kindergarten, we get to a majority and we get there a few months from now. Pursuant to that, I think it makes eminent sense to lock in what I believe would happen anyway, and that is a maintenance of the effort that is already going on. Those schools, and there are so many, who have used Title I money, who have used general funds, who have made available to parents for a fee, the opportunity to buy into full-day kindergarten, that all that should continue so that we are adding dramatically to the population of kindergartners now who benefit from it. I happen to think that that effort will not only be maintained but will be extended, because once again, if we begin funding close to 40% of the kids of the state, the fixed costs of full-day kindergarten will begin to be covered, and completely covered, in many districts, and the expense of augmenting that will begin coming down. And I know from talking to so many of our educators that the first moment they can make this available, they will do so. I think that this approach fits our practical situation and our fiscal situation. Incidentally, in the second year, my suggestion is that we add to the first year on a district-by-district basis the poorest half of the districts in Indiana, that is, the districts with the highest percentage of low-income kids. This would include our major urban areas, but also many of our rural areas where there's a high percentage of low-income kids, using FRPL as the surrogate for that need. And again, on the back of my envelope, we would go well past half in year one and to probably three-fourths or four in five kids a year from next August, with the remainder to follow immediately thereafter. On the practical front, when Sue Ellen Reed and her department have gone out recently and surveyed the districts of this state, a significant majority said it would help them to have at least a second year to add teachers, to train them, and to make other adjustments. Some will need more space, but many will not. And I do think there's real room for creativity here in terms of accessing space, perhaps at some of the organizations represented in this room or in other public spaces. This should not be a rate limiter, in my opinion. And on the fiscal front, make no mistake, it's an expensive item, but it's a necessary one, and it's a top priority one. This state is now in the position, and it did not come easily, to make new investments, starting with our children. 2 years ago, we had a structural deficit. I was told as a newcomer, took years to get into this, take years to get out. I was less patient than that, and today is one reason, is the biggest reason why. The sooner we got the state back into a position of fiscal solvency, the sooner we could do things like full-day kindergarten that people have wanted to do and understood the need to do for a long time. Now, Indiana's not going back in the red on my watch, but I know what our situation is, I guess as well as anybody can at this point. And I'm here to tell you that if we are careful about other things, and we will be, if we manage government department by department, items big and small, with care and a little bit of business sense, as we will, there's the money to do this. And therefore, we must do it. I should tell you that we just got the November revenue receipts data. I was hoping for real good news. We didn't get it. They were disappointing. There is nothing, we're not going to get a windfall of revenue that somehow makes things a lot easier, allows us to do everybody's wish list. But if people in this room will help me put full day kindergarten at the top of everybody's wish list, we can do that. So can you? Can I expect your help on that, please? Another reason that this will and not be an item to be undertaken lightly from a financial standpoint is, I believe we must provide to each district a startup grant. As you know, there's a mismatch between the fiscal year of the state starting in July, the fiscal year of the schools typically starting in January, and there's a lot of money in full-day cost in full-day kindergarten between August and December. The state should pay that. We should not expect schools that we are asking to make this new offering possible to front that money until the check comes in. Not inexpensive, but it's the only fair way to do this. And so I will propose that also to the legislature. There's one last category for which I do not have a specific proposal. I have questions, and we will need help and good thinking. That is the accountability that must come with this process. How will the citizens of this state know that we're getting a return and a lasting return from this new program? How will they know that we have in Indiana a cutting-edge full-day kindergarten program? And here I simply think we all must work together. Our standards, our current standards for kindergarten, right, or should they be modified? Are our kindergarten through third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade teachers ready? And talking to Sue Ellen Reed this morning, she was, and we were so excited about this, of course, but she was saying, you know, there'll be a different group of kindergartners arriving in first grade than some of our teachers have dealt with. Marlene's examples will be visible to first grade teachers all over the state. Are there things we can do to ensure that they are ready to preserve and extend the advances of that second half day? How will we evaluate the outcome? Is the third grade I-step test enough? If so, how will we interpret it? And what are the consequences for people who run the program and do not deliver the appropriate results? These are important questions. Sue Ellen, the Superintendent Reed, is already thinking hard about them. She and I spoke again this morning about our common excitement for this great new adventure, this initiative, and about the importance of doing everything possible to help our district succeed, to do more than simply provide the funds and a hearty good luck. People in this room can provide an awful lot of help on that front, too. There's a new speaker of the Indiana House. You may have read that in the newspapers. I think in his heart he believes this is a good idea, too. Certainly many members of his party do. Credit where it's due, it has been members of his party earlier and more often who have raised the call and the banner of full-day kindergarten. They deserve to be recognized for that. He has said, and he's right, that on every issue, the months ahead of us legislatively will be months of compromise. And that's good. That is the best way to get business done, and it's the best way to ensure support for what you do after it's over, is if everybody has participated and had a cut. That's why I've tried to spend months now coming to this noon to try to come up with a set of proposals that do blend and balance and try to integrate the views that we've heard from all parties with an interest. And I propose it in the spirit of constructive idea and compromise. There will be, I'm sure, lots of thoughts about ways to improve on this outline. But I thought it was my responsibility to move this debate forward by offering this starting point. And I welcome the comments and the refinements and the adjustments that people may want to make. I have only two boundary conditions, two and only two, that I would not be willing to trespass. First of all, every student, every kindergartner in Indiana, every last one enrolled, if it's their family's choice, enrolled in full-day kindergarten by the fall of 09. Secondly, that total state spending in the next budget must be safely within the bounds of revenues. In about 2 weeks, we will have a new revenue forecast. At that point, I will offer up what I think is the boundary for all our priorities within which they should fit. Full-day kindergarten will fit under any conceivable such projection and will be at the top of my priority list, along with, by the way, a significant increase in the support the state provides for the rest of education, for the education system we have now. We can do these two things, and we can do them. We cannot do them if we fulfill everybody else's wish list at the same time, but we can clearly have a government that is as active as today, which advances on other fronts too, and makes these very large investments in the place and in the children who are, after all, our future. So I say once again, we spent a long time getting to this luncheon as a state. Some have spent 18 years. We are that close, I think, to consensus around this plan or something that resembles it. We have put ourselves financially in the position where we can do this. And we did that exactly so that we could make new investments of this kind. This was, after all, a proposal that initially made by members of a party I don't belong to, but it has a strong advocate in me and in many members of the party I do belong to. And at a time when it's so important on subjects of every description for Hoosiers to come together to demand excellence, to aim high, to insist on being cutting edge, here, if nowhere else, is an issue on which we can join hands make it right, make it happen. Thank you for your help.
Those of you who are sports fans, often it's time, you know, said, I was there the day Reggie hit the big shot, right? I was there when Peyton set the record.